What's going on, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Triggered. This is Triggered, episode number 527 here on Wednesday, August 7th. Let's get started here because we finally have the Democrat ticket decided. It is going to be
Mao Zedong.
Basically. the most communist, leftist, socialist, whatever the fuck you want to call it, ticket in the history of the country. It is Harris Walls, which is pretty close to Harry Balls.
Harry Balls, yeah. Balls to the wall.
Tim Walz, the governor of the state of Minnesota, was picked over Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania, because, of course, they cannot have a Jew anywhere near their ticket.
No Jews allowed.
I think there was a couple factors that actually went into it, but obviously that played a very, very key role. They also thought that Josh Shapiro, being the young, vibrant, bright political future person that he is, would overshadow retarded Kamala, essentially.
Which is ridiculous.
I actually think it's a pretty reasonable point, because it would have quickly led to them being like, well, why can't this guy be the presidential candidate instead of her? So she couldn't pick someone that was going to upstage her, right? You can never have a VP that's going to do that.
So she repeated Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Which is why she picked Tim Kaine.
Well, that's why, that's why she picked the old guy who's kind of similar to Joe Biden, just a few years younger, pre-dementia, who's not really going to upstage her. But in doing that, she took what could have been a slam dunk in Pennsylvania, put that state back onto the table, and we weren't going to win Minnesota anyway, regardless of what any of those shock polls showed back in, you know, a month ago. We might have against Joe Biden. We weren't going to win Minnesota against Kamala, because Minnesota's overrun with terrorists, which we're going to talk about in a second. But the pick here, I feel like, is actually going to end up backfiring in the long run for a few reasons. We're going to run through a bunch of them here with you. Of course, the liberal media is all over Tim Walz's dick. I mean, that's literally all they've been doing. It is full 150% propaganda season out there right now.
He's a centrist. He's folksy.
He's
a moderate, even though his record doesn't
say
as such.
You would think he's the next Dwight Eisenhower. I mean, it's... but it's what they've been doing for Kamala for the past 17 days, too, which she has yet to answer any questions or put out any official policy planks of her campaign.
Yeah, since the coup.
Since the coup, yeah.
Yeah, really has.
So, we have this ticket now, and of course, you know, voters may not be too familiar with Walls, but there's been some crazy shit that he's done in the time that he's been the governor. So first off, we go back to the Black Lives Matter riots of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
When Minneapolis was burning, Governor Walz was nowhere to be found. And when the rioters and arsonists were arrested, the very few that were, Kamala Harris helped bail them out. That has to be one of the key things we run against them on here, because it is so stark and so clear, right? He let the state burn down, she bailed him out for the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which there's been all kinds of coverage of that. She's still raising money for the Minnesota Freedom Fund. That fundraising landing page is still up. Tim Walz also supports medically mutilating children, the entire, you know, transgender thing or whatever you want to call it. But not only that, here's where it gets really wild. In Minnesota, there is a ruling, essentially, where if the parent does not sign on to the gender-affirming surgical procedures or treatments that the kid thinks that they need, that they've been indoctrinated to do by their teachers or whoever, Minnesota will take the child away from the parents.
Wow.
Yeah, it's one of the most radical transgender child policies in the entire country. Okay? So that's just disgusting, right? Then, he's basically an avowed socialist.
Oh, yeah.
Take a listen to this.
Don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness. Just do the damn work.
Yeah, he actually, I believe he's more radical than Bernie Sanders. So we've now have the two politicians in this country who are more radical than Bernie Sanders running for president and vice president on the Democrat ticket. It really is astounding, honestly. Yeah. He also...
Oh, the snitch line.
...was a COVID-19 fanatic.
Yeah.
Well after things had already eased up, right?
Yeah.
He developed a snitch line
mm-hmm.
for residents to call and snitch on their neighbors for violating his communist policies almost a full year after COVID initially hit, which mandated indoor masking, closing down bars and restaurants. You know, it's that's crazy, right? But ironically, that's some of the least bad things that he's done. He allowed illegal aliens to get in-state tuition, free public rides to Minnesota public colleges and universities.
He did.
As he hiked taxes on Americans, despite the state's $17.5 billion surplus, he allowed them to get driver's licenses. He allowed them to enroll in Minnesota Care, the state's publicly subsidized health care insurance program. An estimated 40,000 illegal aliens residing unlawfully in Minnesota are in that program today. He's also a radical on abortion, of course. You could go down the list. He's a radical on the climate, immigration. I mean, this guy is just the leftist wet dream.
Yeah.
And
which is why you have these dumb talking points like, you know, despite his record, he reads as a moderate.
Yeah,
I believe Charlie Sykes said that.
Yeah.
On
So
it's like...
Ignore all of his leftist bullshit.
Yeah.
This guy's a moderate.
Yeah.
He's folksy. That was the one that went out for sure.
Yeah.
Because everyone was saying that. And that's just a weird thing to say.
Because he has a... What? He went hunting. He has a shotgun and an orange vest. It didn't work for John Kerry in 04. It's not going to work 20 years later.
Yet wants to take your guns away.
Yeah.
He's
oh,
a gun control
I'll kick
extremist.
The NRA's ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the NRA's kind of irrelevant now. But,
you know.
But really where it gets interesting... is a few things that have been happening over the last 24 hours or so since the rally last night. So they've been playing up Tim Walz's military service, right? They totally ignore J.D. Vance's military service.
Oh, yeah.
But Tim Walz, you know, like I said, the next Eisenhower.
He's G.I. Joe. We're talking about G.I. Joe.
Yep.
He killed bin Laden. Didn't you know that?
And so it goes back to when Tim Walz was actually asked to deploy to Iraq when he was a member of the National Guard, he retired.
He did.
Swiftly and efficiently.
He ran away like a scared wombat.
On the other hand, of course, J.D. Vance, when the Marine Corps asked him to go to Iraq and serve the country, he did it.
Yeah.
Take a listen, and this was great, J.D. Vance. Take a listen to J.D. Vance go after Walz's stolen valor today when he was taking questions from the press. What a crazy idea that someone who's running for office in this country would take questions from the press. Take a listen to this.
When the United States Marine Corps, when the United States of America asked me to go to Iraq to serve my country, I did it. I did what they asked me to do it, and I did it honorably, and I'm very proud of that service. When Tim Walz was asked by his country to go to Iraq, you know what he did? He dropped out of the Army and allowed his unit to go without him, a fact that he's been criticized for aggressively by a lot of the people that he served with. I think it's shameful.
Ooh.
So that was earlier. That was about noon. Then, an hour or two later, we get this news that Tim Walz launched his political career on the false claim that he was a combat veteran in the War on Terror. In his first major interview while running for Congress, the now VP candidate said he ran for office after fighting in Iraq. Well, he clearly lied to Bloomberg reporter Joshua Green about his service because that was in the report. And then, earlier this afternoon, the Bloomberg tried to stealth edit the piece.
Yeah.
From Iraq to Italy.
Yeah.
Without noting it, you know, that standard journalistic procedure to make a note that you corrected the piece and note the time of the correction. They didn't do any of that. And then when they got called out on it, they later added that on.
Yeah.
You know, what we have happening here is essentially akin to what happened in 2004 with the Swift boat.
Yeah.
You know who was behind the Swift boat campaign in 2004?
Roger Stone.
Well, also Chris LaCivita.
That's right.
The campaign manager for Trump. So I am expecting that this is really going to become a big story here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the liberal media, of course, is going to try to ignore it. But the other last part of this is the Minnesota National Guard also confirmed that Tim Walz was demoted and did not retire as a command sergeant major as he has claimed for years, including on his official gubernatorial biography.
Oh,
so there is quite a lot of
liar.
Shit going on here.
Total liar.
Yep. And so you can actually tell that the incompetency of the vetting process here was pretty pretty bad. It was run by Eric Holder. Shocker.
Eric Holder let things slip by?
Yeah. And really, you know, he was essentially, you know, when this pick came out on Tuesday morning, I was ecstatic.
Oh, yeah. No, me too.
Because I thought it was going to be Shapiro.
Me too.
Shapiro's a way more formidable foe.
Yeah.
Would have probably taken Pennsylvania off the board from us. But really what it comes down to is they picked Walz because he was the backup. and he was the supposedly safer pick, even though he's the crazier radical piece of shit.
Yeah. He was Bernie Sanders' pick for running mate if he had clinched the nomination. Yep. So,
well,
so
Van Jones, you know, Van Jones is Van Jones, right? Yeah. But sometimes he has moments where he tells the truth on CNN.
They are.
And this was one of them. Take a listen.
But here's the challenge you've got in this party. And, you know, people don't want to talk about it. We got to talk about it. On the one hand, you have a lot of young people who are concerned about Gaza. You have a lot of Muslims and Arabs and others. They have not felt seen by the Biden administration. You start hearing that genocide joke. That was building. And so those folks needed to have a candidate that they could feel comfortable with. This helps them in that regard. But you also have anti-Semitism that has gotten marbled into this party. You can be for the Palestinians without being an anti-Jewish bigot, but there are some anti-Jewish bigots out there. And there's some disquiet now, and there has to be. How much of what just happened is caving into some of these darker parts in the party? So that's going to have to get worked out. It's going to have to get talked through.
That's what it comes
down to.
Yeah.
No Jews allowed.
The GOP was given, I think, a gift with this pick. And no matter how much the liberal media tries to put lipstick on this pig, it is not going to fly.
Yeah.
And
the only thing that was against Shapiro was actually they weren't even things. It was him being pro-Israel,
mm-hmm.
telling the truth about the Palestinians, and then something when he was like 13 being like pro-Israel or something like
it
that.
It was Jewish and overshadowing.
And overshadowing, yeah.
That's what it
yeah.
comes down
so
to.
So we got to pick the guy yep. who wants mm-hmm. to chop up the babies, mm-hmm. stuffs tampons in boys' bathrooms, yep. Tampon Tim. Yep. Don't forget that. Tampon Tim. And then,
oh, I forgot about that one.
Tampon
yeah.
Tim.
See, there's so much shit on this guy.
And then, you know, and apparently has completely lied about his military record, like, mm-hmm. you know, like Dick Blumenthal. Then he's the name Dick, mm-hmm. except Dick Blumenthal is smarter and doesn't want to run for national office. Yeah. But there's so much crap on this guy. I think it's a political suicide mission.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. We'll
it's coming down to earth. Even the AP reporters are like, you know, Kamala's candidacy is coming down to earth.
We'll see. There's still a lot of manufactured buzz around it because that's what the liberal media is going to do. You know, I was saying the other night that the polls right now are just so in flux and they are not really trustworthy.
She answers questions and until there's debates, I can't gauge anything right now.
Okay, but what if she doesn't?
Well, she's going to debate, right?
What if she doesn't? I've now come around to the idea that they're going to try to run a Joe Biden-style bubble campaign around her. Questions, very limited engagements, and
the engagement we did see, it was a disaster. It was when they greeted the Americans released from Russia, when Biden went on the wrong plane.
Yeah.
At Andrews Air Force, and she ate that word salad.
But I'm saying
I mean, I can see that point, yeah.
She's not going to... At least right now, change. The pressure is mounting for her to answer questions.
Yeah.
Now, the real question is, does the liberal media get on board with it? Because that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Remember, we saw the same thing with Joe Biden.
Yeah.
The liberal media, Biden is a great, spry president. He's the best.
Behind the propaganda, he's sharp as a tack.
Sharp as a tack. That was the talking point.
And then it got blown up.
Then it blows up on TV.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Chernobyl. And then they had to flip immediately. And you saw for the first time in the last, at least my lifetime, the last 31 years, the media was treating liberals how they treat conservatives.
Yeah.
They were covering them fairly.
Yeah.
Right? And now, of course, they're biased against us.
Yeah.
But they were actually asking questions of the liberals. And you saw how quickly they folded under that pressure.
Yeah.
Right? But then Biden drops out, and at the drop of a hat, they go back to full fucking propagandist, 150%, turn up the dials like you never seen before.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that was something to see. And that was all in a month. Right? That was less than a month. 3 weeks. So... the question now is, will they put the pressure on Kamala to give interviews, right? If they start talking about it on CNN, Kamala's not giving interviews. She's not talking to anybody. What's going on here? You know, what are they hiding? They're not putting out any policy platforms. If that happens, then she'll be forced into it.
Oh, boy.
But if they don't do that, it's not going to happen. Yeah. And that's, that's the thing that worries me.
I give it 50-50 at this point.
That's the thing that worries me. I don't see her doing one before the DNC. And the DNC is over a week away, right? The DNC doesn't start, and it's 1 week from today, and then another week that Monday, that's when the DNC starts. I don't see her doing that. I could be totally wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I think that they're going to try to keep her sheltered through the DNC. you know, her, that's going to be her unveiling, blah, blah, blah. And there'll be one big liberal circle jerk up there with all these celebrities and musical acts and all this bullshit. But if you look at the polls that are coming out right now, what interests me is how they have now changed the predicted electorate to meet their narrative needs.
Yeah.
So these polls that are coming out that show Kamala up one, maybe two, maybe three nationally, they have now changed them to D plus five samples. In no fucking world does any legitimate pollster or electoral predictor think that it's going to be a D plus five electorate. Maybe it'll be even. Maybe D plus one, but most consensus is that it will be an R 2-4 electorate.
That's good.
Right?
Yeah. Still close, but good.
But yeah, so if you know, we're getting into this fucking neighborhood again of like, oh, well, if you unskew the polls, well, like, just because Kamala's in the race didn't change the electorate that much, right?
Yeah.
She's in energized the Democrats. I saw one poll that had her at 99% of Democrats. Yeah. No chance. I don't think so. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It literally does not happen. Yeah. Even Obama didn't have that kind
of
support.
And that's why I'm starting, you know, you have the talking heads, but, like, you know, the one Obama guy is David Axelrod. He's the one who's been kind of down to earth saying that.
He's been a real piece of shit, too, lately. I don't know if you've seen some of
the shit that he's saying. Irrational exuberance is what he's that's how he's describing the whole Harris bubble. But I missed what happened.
He's been pushing the couch thing, the fake couch story. Oh, the
fake couch story?
Yeah, the fake couch story. And we're going to get to that in a second. I don't want to shoot the gun here.
Yeah.
But it really is something that, you know, these polls are so outrageously different now. So I don't tend to believe them as much. You know, do I certainly think that this election is much closer than it was when Biden was running against us? Absolutely. Of course. I mean, that's just a fact. Yeah. Everybody knows that and everybody sees that. You know, I'm not panicking yet. I was on the precipice of a little bit of panic before the pick. Because I thought if she picked Shapiro, that momentum was going to snowball so hard on us. And if you took Pennsylvania off the table, it gets a lot bleaker for us percentage-wise, right? Like, we still could have picked off one of either Wisconsin or Michigan.
Well, I think we would have had to win both of them.
Well, probably, because Pennsylvania is a better prize. Yeah. So, but with Pennsylvania being in play now, our percentages are strong. And I think you're going to see, like you said, I think she's going to come back to earth. I think going into the DNC, they're going to have a little DNC bump. Once those polls settle coming out of that, once we get to Labor Day, it's 2 months to the election.
Yeah.
This race comes down to Sprint. 2 months. And I think you're going to see it, you know, being fast and furious, and I think you're going to see things level out quite a bit more to the point where it will probably settle back to being, like, even popular vote, but an even popular vote means Trump wins.
Yeah, it does.
So that'll be really interesting to see what happens. It's just all over the place right now. It's a very fluid race, you know, that we got going on here.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a gift to us that they basically are running a fucking communist ticket.
Yeah.
And I think Trump sees that, and they're starting to buy a lot more ads now that they know who they're actually running against. You know, one thing that was very interesting, I was talking to somebody who's very astute yesterday, and she said that she worries that the biggest mistake of this entire campaign was taking that early debate, because it allowed them to replace him.
Yeah.
And if we had led to a more standard debate schedule,
like the first one, like after Labor Day or something,
in September, it would have been over.
Yeah.
And that would have been it. So, and I totally agree with that. But, you know, the past is the past, and, you know, we have to adjust now and see. I don't know if there's going to be debates. That's a big fight. It's a intellectually dishonest fight by the Democrats, but of course the media parrots all their talking points.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's everything.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, but, I mean, Trump really isn't obligated to debate a do-over candidate, but the whole...
I agree, but that's never going to fly.
It's never going to fly.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, you know, well, he's chickening out. I'm just like, what are you talking about? That, the you know, how he's afraid of her, like, please. please.
Oh, I know. I please. Know. Please. Yeah,
We're
yeah.
comparing records here. Like, what record does she have besides, you know, sucking off Willie Brown, allegedly?
True. Allegedly. No, that's true.
You know, and that of a former president. So, mm-hmm. please.
Yep. Yeah, I do think that there probably will be a debate, but I'm not confident enough to say so.
Yeah.
I mean, last week there was a report on Friday night. Yeah, Friday night. That Trump was agreeing to a Fox News debate on September 4th.
Yeah.
Which then was quickly pushed back by Kamala saying no, she wanted the ABC debate that had already been, quote, well, agreed to, which was with Biden.
Biden debate.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So we'll see. I think eventually there will be some kind of agreement, but I don't think it should be anywhere but Fox.
Yeah.
We did CNN already. The yeah. Libs got their debate.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know, this is Republican time here. Yeah. So while all this is happening, the economy is on the fritz.
Fritz.
You know,
total. It's everything's on fire.
I mean, you know, so what we're at right now is, I think, an intermediate stabilization period.
Yeah.
Right? We saw the first drop. Now we're leveling off a little bit. There's always a little bit of a level off before the true final drop. That's what happened in 2008. Not saying it's going to be as aggressive as 2008, not financial advice, but, you know, this is pretty much what we've been saying is coming for a really long time here. I don't know. I don't know where we're going to go from here. I think that some of the stuff in the underlying parts of the economy is very scary, and you know I've been saying that for a really long time. So... Yeah. You know, I don't need to harp on that again here for everybody, but, you know, I'd just batten down the hatches a bit. Not financial advice, but definitely batten down those hatches. And it's never too early
to
buy guns and ammo.
Yeah.
Because the election, no matter what happens, is going to result in some fucked up shit happening in America. I could guarantee you that. That is a guarantee. Hey, listen, you can take that to the bank.
We've had an assassination attempt this cycle. Absolutely.
So good segue there into the assassination. So... You've been following, you know, the investigation. God. So apparently there was a communications breakdown.
Yeah.
Tell us, you know, what's going on there. Then we got this Pakistani national.
Yeah, no, right.
Yeah, so go ahead.
So, okay. So basically, I'll just summarize that. Uh-huh. We are just lucky that Donald Trump wasn't killed that day, given all the security failures just keep growing by the day. It could scale Everest at this point, the number of problems.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yes, we learned about the local ESU units who had descriptions and photos of Thomas Matthew Crooks,
mm-hmm.
and how they blared that over the radio, and how nothing was actionable, right? They didn't do anything. Well, why is that? Well, now we know. The Secret Service wasn't even in on the radio system.
Mm-hmm.
So it was this demarcated communication system prevented, you know, a rapid response. We have more... whistleblowers coming forward. Whistleblowers are coming out of the woodwork, by the way. You know, saying that no IDs were checked for access to the restricted area. The lead agents running point for security at the Butler rally were unqualified.
Yep.
And then on July 12th, you have this Pakistani national, I think Asif Merchant, who was arrested for trying to assassinate former President Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. He has ties to Iran, so the whole Iranian assassination plot story that Spencer wrote about last month, that ties into this.
Right.
You know, luckily the people he was trying to solicit for this conspiracy were undercover FBI agents, and they arrested him on July 12th. But that should have... Did the Secret Service not know about this?
Mm-hmm.
Everything was on high alert, or should have been high alert, and this still happened. So, we have another layer cake of incompetence and failure, and we still don't know why the fucking rooftop was left unprotected within the security zone.
Yep.
That is going to be, I mean, that's going to be like the unicorn.
Well, they're very clearly trying to push this completely from the news.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, nobody wants to talk about the fact that less than a month ago, they tried to blow off President Trump's head in front of a crowd of his supporters. Yep. With multiple lapses by Secret Service in a very suspicious way.
And no one's been disciplined.
Correct.
No one's been demoted. No one's been fired. Kimberly Cheadle only got fired because her testimony was such a shambles.
Well, and fired is a...
Yeah, she resigned. But it's just like you had to, she was going to stay. You saw her, how she heard her demeanor, that whole fucking testimony. Like she was, but you know, they, you know, she's gone now. Ronald Rowe is in there.
Yep.
And, you know, gives more damning details, like how basically the Secret Service snipers didn't even know Crooks was armed until he started opening fire, which I find very hard to believe since they, they had sights on him for 2 fucking minutes before he opened fire. It's just, it's honestly, do we even, should Trump just get private security?
I don't think he could do that. I mean, I guess he could add additional security, but or like, I don't think it's
going to happen. It's Keystone Cops, man. This is bad. Like, I would not, I mean, I know he's doing the rally, and he's had multiple rallies since then.
Yeah. But
I would be sweating bullets.
I don't see it happening again. I don't see it happening again.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean I don't see the lapses happening again.
Oh, I think
so. I think that someone's going to try. Yeah. I do think someone's going to try.
They might get him at the gate, though, before, hopefully. Yeah. Or they bust them before, you know, the rally even happens. I hope to God.
So we'll see. Because
this kid was building bombs. I mean, there were bombs in his house. Like, it was out of control.
Yeah. Interesting. Looks like CNN is picking up the Wall Stolen Valor. So that'll get interesting quick. Yeah, it's only a matter of time before I think they try to take a shot at our guy again.
Yeah. Well, there was the email that the sniper sent.
Yeah.
The Secret Service sniper sent an email that was deleted off the server.
Well, and we learned that these fucking Iranians and terrorists are after him too.
Well,
I definitely am concerned that as part of, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the Middle East. There's rumors going that tonight is the night. We've been waiting to see what was going to happen.
I've heard that for 5 days now.
Yeah. I think there's more signs right now that it is actually tonight than has been at any other time in the last 5 days. But it could be that nothing happens again. You know, we've basically warned Iran, us and Israel have warned Iran that you fuck around, you're going to find out here. So I think they're deciding just how big they want to go with this. You know, once again, the U.S. State Department fucking sucks and has American citizens all over the place over there that they should have been evacuating for weeks because anybody could have seen this coming. I mean, I saw this coming, like, you know, and I'm not the one who's supposed to be in charge of the fucking State Department. So they also attacked our American air base in Iraq.
Yes.
Several U.S. personnel were injured. Of course, you know, no word from the president because we have no president right now.
We really don't.
That's probably the most concerning thing.
Yeah. I mean, we have no fucking president. Who's leading the goddamn country?
Yeah, well.
I mean, there's that. There's the whole, you know, the 9/11 deal that got scuttled by Austin Lloyd. Mm-hmm. Like, who? Or Lloyd Austin. Sorry, excuse me.
Fuck him.
Yeah, but it's just like, okay, well then, who knew? No one gave us a straight answer about that.
No.
Even the little things, no one fucking knows.
Of course. Well.
Help us.
Yeah, so of course we will have full coverage for you
at
townhall.com if the attack happens tonight. You know, they killed quite a few terrorists, Israel did, which is fantastic. And we'll see if Iran retaliates for that, setting off perhaps a larger regional war over there. But here at home, things continue to get dicier with our security situation as well. Obviously, crime's out of control in the cities. The illegals are running rampant. But the thing that I'm really drawing attention to now and concerned with, and you know I've been saying this for a long time, is the amount of terrorists that have gotten through the border.
Yeah.
We find out now that through a new report that over 100 illegal immigrants on the terror watch list have been released into the United States.
Yeah.
Caught.
And then released.
And then released into the United States. Literally, they're taking terrorists and releasing them into the United States. I mean, can you imagine who thinks that's a fucking good idea? And so you have all of that, and who knows what these terrorists are going to do, right? Yeah. I think they've just been lying in wait for the fall. I really do. You just saw today an ISIS plot to attack a Taylor Swift concert in Austria was stopped.
I saw
right before it was about to happen.
Yeah.
You have all those terrorists here in this country, and that's the people we know of, let alone the ones that got in undetected. Just last week, they caught two Palestinians at the border with known terror ties. At least they got rid of them, apparently. Who knows if that's true?
Yeah.
Then we find out, remember that all those flights that they were just flying people into the country from airports all over the shithole countries of the world?
Yep.
Well, now that out of an abundance of caution, quote, they've temporarily paused that program after significant concerns arose over the individuals that were being brought into the country and their vetting, yeah. I guess you will, and the vetting of the sponsors that they had, the vetting of the sponsors, which was non-existent, apparently.
Yeah. Free money.
I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And, of course, we talked about the two Jordanians. These guys sound nice. Hassan Youssef Hamdan and Mohammed Kar Dabus released from detention.
Great.
Even though they are illegal and tried to breach Quantico Marine Base here in Virginia, not too far from where we are here now. What the fuck is wrong with these people?
I don't know.
I mean, what it, it's literally, literally, they are seeding the next 9/11 in this country. When that happens, and it will at some point soon, I believe, we will look back and say, not only did they not even have to sneak into the country, we brought them in and we funded their operation.
Yeah.
Because we gave them free fucking food stamps and health care and housing and cell phones, and they're probably using it all against us, and they're going to attack us. Yeah. And innocent American citizens are going to die because of what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris did to this country. That's what it's going, what's going to come down to. Let's see. I guess some good news. Cori Bush lost her primary last night in Missouri.
Hezbollah's favorite representative.
Yeah, so the squad has shrunk down to two now, I believe. Yeah. Does that count as a squad?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. No.
Two. I feel like you need three for a squad. Yeah. But Ilhan is up next week in Minnesota. I'm sure she'll win because Minnesota's just overrun with Somalians, which is another thing that Tim Walz did, by the way.
He changed the flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He literally changed the Minnesota state flag to look like the Somalian national flag.
Yeah.
Look it up. If you don't believe me, look it up. He's the one who's imported all these Somalians into Minnesota, and Minneapolis looks like a third world shithole now. The Mall of America is you can't walk around without thinking you're in a fucking market in Kabul.
Yeah.
I mean, it is
there's third five, world people getting stabbed all the time in that mall. It's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, you know Muslims love stabbings. Yeah, true. So, I mean, that's just the fact. Let's see. This happened over the weekend, of course, the Doug Emhoff scandal of Kamala Harris's husband, who got his children's nanny pregnant and then forced her either to have an abortion or paid enough hush money to keep her quiet. So that was good.
Yeah, we don't know what happened to the baby, don't we?
Not yet. We're going to find out.
Yeah, we'll.
And last, but certainly not least, the Kamala cackle of the day. Take a listen to this clip. Roll it, Mr. Producer.
All that, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone else, that is called Bidenomics. That is called Bidenomics, and we are very proud of Bidenomics.
Oh, classic. God.
I mean, this is...
We cannot lose to this woman.
Well, you know...
And if we do, we all should just be retired.
That's kind of how I feel about it. I feel like if we lose to Kamala, it will affirm in my mind to me that we will never be able to win again.
Yeah.
Maybe things get so bad eventually that, you know, things turn. But, like, how fucking bad does it have to get?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah.
We're living at the precipice of hell here. And people are thinking of voting for four more years of that.
Yeah.
You know? And I get people dislike Trump, right? I mean, this, you know, this goes back to all the stuff that we talked about a long time ago about just the hate for Trump. And there's always that base in this country. But, like, are they really that crazy and against their own self-interest that they want to vote for four more years of economic ruin and global wars and all of this shit? And if that happens, I don't know that there's any saving it.
No, there's not.
That's kind of how I feel about
it. This is the point of no return
here. And I kind of feel, you know, I've said that if we lose this election, this show's going away. I kind of feel like if we lose this election, I think I might need to get out of the game.
Yeah, we're going away.
I might get out of the game of politics if that happens, because I don't know if I could do this anymore. If we lose to that fucking cackling socialist, never has seen a dick she doesn't want to suck to get higher in the world, piece of shit, running against an accomplished businessman.
I know.
Who, in 4 years, proved his worth to this country. Who took a bullet for democracy. And if we lose to her, I don't know. I just don't know if I could do that anymore. I think we might be past the point of no return. You know, I always call it the Flight 93 election. We said it last time, but this time it feels a little different. It feels a little more real in that there's two very different paths for America here. One is dark and desolate for conservatives.
It's what you see in Europe right now. It's what you see in the UK with all these riots.
Sure.
The two-tiered system of policing and enforcement of the law.
Yeah.
And it's...
Well, and so I, after all that, enough depressing talk, I saved the best story for last.
Oh, boy.
So, last night at the rally, Tim Walz, who's a real fucking piece of shit, went out there and brought up the totally debunked lie about J.D. Vance and the couch. Right? And I'm sure everyone's heard it by now.
Yeah.
But, guess what? Two could play at that game, bucko, because my sources are telling me, and I've heard this all across the internet today, that when Tim Walz was a little younger, he had to have his stomach pumped because it was filled to the brim with horse cum. And I didn't make that up. People are saying, right? People are telling me, you know, Donna would never say such a thing. Yeah. People are saying... many people are saying, oh, maybe he fucked the horse. I don't know. Yeah. Many people are saying online.
So we should we call him Deep Throat?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But yeah, you know, I was shocked that he brought that up last night at the rally. And to me, that's a sign that they intend, you know, remember when Michelle Obama used to lie and say, when they go low, we go high, which is a total fucking lie.
Total lie, yeah.
They're going to go low.
And they're going to stay
low. And if they want to fucking go low, I will go lower than you have ever seen before.
Yeah.
Like, we are prepared for this. The gloves are off. You know, if they want to open that door, we are going to bust through the fucking wall like the Kool-Aid man. Because I've had enough of these people.
Horse come.
And also, I don't know, may not be working in politics in 6 months. So you know what? Balls to the wall. It's over here, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we're going to do now. But yeah, Tim Walz's stomach was filled to the brim with horse cum. So that's what they've been saying.
Yeah.
Which you can look it up online. Yeah, listen, it's all over the place.
He just loves those horses.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Also, I did hear another rumor that he fucked a traffic cone. Although that, I believe, has been debunked now. But I'm not sure. Nobody really knows. Nobody can prove that he didn't fuck the traffic cone.
Yeah.
Well, he also can't prove that he wasn't filled to the brim with horse cum.
Was a horse involved with the traffic cone?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We report, you decide.
Yeah.
Please don't sue me, Fox. All right. We will be back here, of course, next week with another episode of Triggered. You all know that it's going to be on Wednesday, hopefully, as long as my schedule cooperates. But and then, of course, if you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, and I bet you that last part was quite the censoring there for Mr. Producer, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code TRIGGERED for 50% off your membership into this exclusive club of Patriots. We're doing a lot of exciting things. VIP, it's what funds what we do not only here on Triggered, but all of our reporting in the Town Hall Media Network. We're telling the truth. They're lying. I mean, really, it's the only source of truth in this country anymore in the media. So, conservative media, you got to support it. If you have the means, we would really appreciate it. We have so many VIP members that have come from our Triggered listeners, and we're so grateful for that. We couldn't do this without you all. So, townhallvip.com, use the promo code TRIGGERED for 50% off. Don't forget, of course, if you'd like to reach out and email us, triggered@townhall.com. We love hearing from all of you. And we will be back here next Wednesday, August 14th, for another episode of Triggered.
See you then.